God's day of grace is today, and God's day of grace for you and me is going to last until the day we take our last breath on this earth. And then God's day of grace is going to be done for us. Now, it'll go on for others that are still alive, but until the day you die, you have the ability to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But the very second you die, you don't have that ability anymore. You may very well cry out. You may confess him as Lord. The Bible says every tongue is going to confess Jesus as Lord. Unfortunately, the day of grace is gone. So now's the time. If you haven't done it yet, now's the time. So we're going to stand, we're going to honor God as we read about three tremendous truths, and we're going to find all three here in 1 John chapter 5, verses 18 to 21. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. We know that we are the children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. Fathers, we study these three truths today that we can know. Father, we thank you that we don't have to doubt all the days of our life. There are things in your word that you've revealed that we can know now. Father, help us as we study these three truths that we not only know them mentally, but that we walk in that truth. And Father, we'll give you the praise today in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. All through the book of 1 John, if you've never taken time to read 1 John, you really need to. Because all the way through 1 John, you're going to keep bumping into, we know. God has revealed certain things to his children through his word. And through those things that he's revealed, you get the blessing of passing those to your family, to your children, to your neighbors, to your grandchildren. Deuteronomy 29:29 is a verse that if you've never memorized it, you really should. The secret things belong to the Lord God, our God. But the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. There are things that God has chosen not to reveal to mankind. There are things that no matter how smart you are, you're never going to figure them out. But there are things that God has revealed to his children. And he wants you not only to know them, he wants you to explain those same truths to your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, friends and neighbors and fellow workers. What a blessing we have is that there are some things in life we can absolutely know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, because God revealed it to us. Folks, those are the things we can rejoice in. And I hope the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle John, as he talks to us today, through 1 John chapter 5, I hope that you can take this home and you can say, I know these three truths, and I believe them with all my heart. The first thing we're going to look at today is the certainty of Christ's power to transform our lives. God has given us everything we need to live a godly life. None of us live that perfectly. Don't get me wrong. There are no perfect people in this room. I'm perfect in my standing with God because of Christ's blood. But I'm certainly not perfect in my life. I know that. You know that. But not only the certainty of God's power to transform our lives, but the certainty of our position in Christ. Do you know for sure today that you are a son or daughter of God? Do you know for certain today that because you are a son or daughter of God, you are going to heaven when this life is over? Folks, that's so important to know. Death has no fear for those that know where they're going. Now, death has uncertainties. I don't care for the pain or the suffering, But when I'm done with this life, I have the blessing of knowing where I'm going. I have the blessing of knowing I'll never be sick again. I'll never know pain again. I'll never know sorrow again. I hope you have that same thought in your mind, that you know that's true. And then third, we're going to look at the certainty of our new perception in Christ. There are things that I know today that I certainly did not know when I was 25 years old. That's when I received Christ as Savior. There are things that I'm still learning today that I didn't know last year. So we can continue in our growth in Christ. So first I want to look at the certainty of Christ's power to transform your life and my life. In 1 John 5:18, he tells us about the assurance of Christ's power to transform us. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. When we read that first introduction there, we know, it says, we know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. When you read that, the way it's written in the English language, we think then, do I really know God? Because it was just yesterday, and I said something I shouldn't have. It was just the day before that I did something I shouldn't have done. So we have to look a little bit deeper at the language to understand exactly what he's saying here. Because when it looks like on the surface something is contrary to the reality of what you know, sometimes it's because of the English translation. There are things in our English translation that you better know a little bit of Greek and a little bit of Hebrew. Some of you remember just a few months ago, I think it was now, one of the singers, and I can't think of his name now because I don't follow these modern singers, but he was acting like he was a Christian. He was not at all. But he was saying, what the world needs is love, 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 love. But he didn't have in mind the love of God. He didn't have in mind agape love. He had sexual love on his mind. He thought that was going to change the world. Folks, that's been going on a long time, and that hasn't changed the world. I want to tell you, you have to know the words, and sometimes that's why more study is important. Anytime you come across something in the Word of God that seems to contradict everything you understand, you have to dig just a little bit deeper because the answer is there. In 1 John, he already told us that if you say you've never sinned, you're a liar. If you don't say you continue to sin, you're a liar. In 1 John 1:8, it says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. But wait a minute. The other verse said, we know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. So what's going on here? As we study the Greek construction, and I don't know Greek, I just know how to study it so I can figure these things out, but I don't know the Greek language backwards and forwards, but we know that anyone born of God, a child of God, is not continuously and habitually sinning. That's what that word means. In other words, before I was a Christian, I was into pornography big time, and I was. After I became a Christian, I began to put that away. Now, it was a struggle because I had years of the habit. It takes time, but God begins to break the chains. That's the idea here. God breaks the chains of the things that used to hold you. And so the child of God, although from time to time I do sin, I really believe the more I study the Bible, every day I sin in word, thought, or deed. I don't think there's probably a day goes by that I don't. I don't think right. I don't speak right. I don't do right sometimes. But it's not a continual thing in my life. The chain has been broken. Once in a while, I'll still look at a woman the wrong way. You say, well, what's the wrong way? Well, I'll give you the right way first. Lord, you did a beautiful job. She's a beauty. The wrong way is what? I want to have her. That's the wrong way. And so when your mind goes that way, and I don't know a natural man that mind doesn't go that way from time to time, you have to say, praise God, it's not a habit anymore. This is an aberration. This is not normal for me anymore. And that's all that's saying. We don't continue in the old habits. We break those habits. I was a drunk before I got saved. I don't drink anymore. because it only takes 3 beers and I'm drunk. So the only way I can not get drunk is just don't drink. So I don't drink. And I'm not telling you you can't drink. If you can control your drinking and you can have a beer and that's good, I don't say that's wrong. The Bible doesn't say that that's sin, but drunkenness is. And you have to know that Jesus Christ came to set you free from sinful habits. Drinking is not sinful. Drunkenness is, and you have to know the difference. You have to know your limits. If you don't know your limits, you better learn. But the difference is, before I got saved, I loved my sin. Somebody told me, if you become a Christian, you got to give that up. And I really struggled with that. Wait a minute. This is what I love. And you're telling me I got to give it up. Yes, wrong. But I thought the price of going to heaven was well worth the cost. And so I did. How did I do it? I couldn't do it before I got saved. How could I do it after? Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 gives you the answer. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. So God goes to work in me, gives me a desire to do what he wants me to do, and then he gives me the power to do it. It wasn't easy to say no to those things, but the more I did it, the more power I got. And 99% of the time, I'm in control now. There's always that 0.1% that I think all of us fall a little short. But it's not a continual part of my life anymore. And I pray that you're reaching that point in your life where the things that bind you, you know they're wrong, but you just don't quite have the power to do it. Look to God. He'll give you all the power you need. He wants you, number one, to will to do his will, and then he gives you the power to do that once you decide, Lord, I really want to live for you. It makes a big difference. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. The new creation means you are a son or daughter of God. You're no longer just a natural man or a natural woman. You are now endued with supernatural power to be able to say no to ungodliness and sin. I couldn't do that before I got saved, but I can now, and I praise the Lord for it. So the question is, are you seeing victory in your life? Not perfection, because none of us are going to be perfect till we get home to heaven, and then we will be. When I get to heaven, I'm not going to want to sin anymore because my sin nature is going to be gone. But until I get to heaven, guess what? I still got a sinful nature. My body, as one of the entertainers said, the flesh wants what the flesh wants. That's the way it is. And it's going to be that way until the day I die. That's just the way it is. But I don't practice sin. That's the difference. We're set free there. So Christ can transform us. The power of Christ transforms our lives, as explained again in 1 John 5:18. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. And here's second point. The one who is born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. The one who's born of God keeps them safe. There's only been one man physically born of God, and that's not me. I was spiritually born of God, but the only man physically born of God was Jesus Christ. John 3:16 explains that very well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so the one who keeps me safe isn't me. It's Jesus Christ living in me. That's who gets control. So we don't have the ability to keep ourselves, save ourselves, or keep ourselves saved. It's all through Jesus Christ. He now lives in me. The Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ in me, and he's the one that keeps me. And so we can rejoice in the Lord, even the grace to believe Jesus Christ. I didn't come up with that. I wasn't smart enough to figure it out, and other dummies can't figure it out. God revealed and gave me even the faith to believe. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. If you are a believer today in Jesus Christ, it isn't because you're a better person than somebody else. It isn't because you're smarter. It isn't because you're wiser. It's because God revealed it to you. And all the glory goes to Him. I didn't have faith to figure all this out. God gave me the gift of faith, and I was able to believe. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation is ready to be revealed in the last time." We are shielded by God, and we're all set for salvation, and it's going to come. At the end of this life, we're stepping into eternity, and we're going to be just fine. You may say, "I'm afraid to give my life to Jesus because He may ask me to give up something I don't want to give up." I hope you understand that thing, whatever it is, whether it's a person or a thing or pornography like it was for me, that is your idol. That's something you worship more than you worship God. And the truth of the matter is, on your own, you can't give that up. I would never have given up pornography, but I did. And it was by God's grace, because He gave me the ability to do that. My desire to know Him as my Lord and Savior was greater than my desire for my idol at the time. And I gave myself to Christ. Folks, you can do the same exact thing. I don't care what your idol is. It may be your child, your husband, your wife, your father, your mother, somebody you care about more than you care about Him. "I'm so concerned about what someone's going to think that I'm not going to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." That is your idol. We'll talk more about that in a minute. But Jesus has the power not only to save you, but to keep you. In John chapter 10, verse 27, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." I want to give you a little illustration. You're in the city, you're in the big city, you're in Chicago, and you have to cross a major intersection. And Dad, you've got your little girl who's 3 years old with you. When you get ready to cross that road, what is that little girl thinking? There's cars zip, 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 zip. She looks up to you, and what does she do? She reaches up her little hand because she knows she's not going to make it alone. She reaches up, but what do you do in response? Do you let her take hold of your little finger and you're going to walk her across the road? No. Any dad that loves a little girl is going to do what? He's going to grab her whole hand. He's in control. And he walks that little girl across the road, and he puts her on the other sidewalk, and she says, "Wow, what a daddy." When you receive Christ, do you understand what you're doing? You're reaching up your hand, and He takes a hold of your hand. He loves you, and He's going to get you home safe. That's what this is all about. It's not me in charge. Jesus Christ loved you enough to shed His blood for you. He is the good shepherd. Jesus said, "All that the Father has given me, I can lose how many?" None. I hope you understand that. I've never seen a Christian in this church get lost yet. I've seen some people that claimed to be Christians, that weren't Christians, that walked away. But every single person that is a Christian that I can say, the best I understand it, they really have received Christ, has come back after walking away. Jesus Christ said, "I can lose none." When Jesus had His last night on this earth, we've been studying this in Sunday school for a few weeks now, in John 17, verse 6, Jesus said, "I revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word." Now they know that everything you've given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, for those you've given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I'm coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so the scripture would be fulfilled. Judas was in scripture the one that was going to betray the Lord. Judas was not a believer. That's what you have to keep in mind. Judas never received Christ as Savior. He was a thief, the Bible says, from the beginning. Jesus knew that he was going to die in his sin, but he was never a believer. There has never been a believer in Jesus Christ that has died in their sin. All of our sins are forgiven. And so it's extremely important you understand that. Jesus is not going to lose any of his disciples. If you've trusted Christ, you don't have to worry and fret. A lot of Christians go through their whole life. Am I going to wind up going to heaven? Or near the end of my life, am I going to do something stupid and lose my salvation? In the Old Testament, that could be done, but not in the New. In the New Testament, guess what? The Holy Spirit seals us. It's the seal of God. And nobody can open it but God. And God says he will never open that seal. If you trust Christ as Savior, you are declared righteous in God's sight forever. 2 Timothy 1:12 says, "That is why I'm suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he's able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day." What did Paul entrust to Christ? His very soul. Paul says, I'm not worried about what happens in my life. I'm having a lot of trouble because of my walk with the Lord. But I know he's going to keep me. In Jude, verse 24, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. If you have trusted Christ, you're going to be before the Father without fault. Why? Because you're there in the very righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's what his blood does for us. And so God says he's able to keep you from falling. And then the third thing I want you to see in this is what I want you to see, this power is executed in our lives. How does it happen? 1 John 5:18, one last time. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. That word harm means grasp or lay hold of. Just as we talked about that little girl with her daddy grabbing her by the hand, Satan wants to grab you. He wants to control you, but not for good. Satan wants to destroy you. I don't know how so much hate can be in anyone, but Satan hates mankind because you're going to inherit what he wanted to inherit. He wanted to rule this earth, and he is the prince of the power of the air today. Most of this world is under the control of Satan, even very religious people. Jesus said to the Jews of his day, the religious leaders, your father is the devil. And it was. Jesus said the devil is a murderer from the beginning. That's what he does. As you look around this world today, I hope you can see that Satan is pretty much in control of this world. All the hatred, all the strife, all the fighting, all the bombings, all the craziness that we see going on, that's all through Satan. That's through people who are following him. In Ephesians 6, verse 16, it says, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Satan wants to have you. And he's constantly shooting false truths your way. They're not the truth, they're false truths. And if you don't have the shield of faith, guess what's going to happen? You're going to start to believe the lies. You know what's really going to make you happy tonight? We're going to have a big party with all the booze you can drink, and oh man, we're going to have a great time. Sounds like fun, doesn't it? But it's not fun the next morning when you wake up. It's not fun when you wake up the next morning and find out you hit your wife in the eye and she's now got a black eye. You didn't even remember it. But she'll never forget it. Folks, this is important. Satan wants you. And because you're in Christ, guess what the good news is? He can't have you. He can influence you. He can tempt you. But he can't grab a hold of you and control you. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And I praise God for that. In Ephesians 4:27, it says, do not give the devil a foothold. If you're given to drugs, and the Lord's working in you to help you to stop, and you start listening to Satan of how good it would be to get high tonight, folks, you're giving the devil a foothold. If you're given to alcohol, if you're given to pornography, whatever it is, you sit down to watch TV, and there's that show, and you know the Lord doesn't want you to watch it. But Satan says, it won't bother a thing. And then after you watch it, what does Satan do? He says, you call yourself a Christian. Look at what you just watched. He wants it both ways, and he wants to condemn you, but he can't. In John 10:10, talking about the thief, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. The Bible says in 1 John 4:4, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Satan can tempt you, but he cannot control you. You have a free will. You can give Satan a place in your life if you want to. But if you know what he's up to, he's trying to kill you. He wants to destroy your testimony so your kids don't come to faith. You can resist him because Christ is now in you. You are more than conqueror. You say, I just can't do it. You're right. I can't do it either. But Christ can do it in me. All I have to do is surrender. I don't have to try harder. I don't have to struggle. I just have to surrender to the Lord. And when I do, he does all the rest. Folks, a Christian life is not a difficult life. It's a surrendered life. And when you decide, I'm going to live for Christ, I'm going to live according to his word, Satan can't hardly tempt you at all. It's when you kind of are hemming and hawing. Am I going to follow the Lord? Am I going to chase after the world? Folks, that's a dangerous place to be. Make up your mind. Some of you remember Mr. Walker that used to come here. Mr. Walker, his dad, had a famous saying that Mr. Walker said over and over. Pig or pup, be one. In other words, are you going to be a child's pet? Or are you going to be a pig that plays in the mud? Make up your mind. Because you can't go both. The most miserable people I know are people that are doing both. There's no joy in that life at all. The certainty of our position in Christ, this is so important. Many people who call themselves Christians are not sure that they've really made a commitment to Christ. In 1 John 5, verse 19, we know, so that tells me right away, this is something you can know today. We know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. You can know your position in Christ. If you have called him to be your personal Lord and Savior, you've confessed your sin to him. That doesn't mean you name every single sin you've ever done. I don't even know some of the sins I've done. But I simply confess, Lord, I am a sinner. I'm undone. There's nothing I can do to make it right. I need you to be my Lord and Savior. When you do that, you can know right now that you're a son or daughter of God. And God will never give up on one of his children. You belong to him. In 1 John 5, verse 19, we know that we are children of God, and the whole world is under the control of the evil one. And you wonder why this world is in such a mess. Their God is a murderer. Their God is a liar. When you listen to the news, and I don't care what channel you listen to anymore, it's full of lies. We have a hard time knowing the truth. When you go on your computer and you search out something, there's one article says this, another article says that, and you say, what is the truth? We have to come back to the Word of God and the Son of God to know what the truth is, because this world is full of lies. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, we wonder when we witness, how come they don't get it? The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. And so you wonder, well, then how did I come to faith? Because before you ever asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, before you even confessed him as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit was doing a work in you. God chooses who's going to be saved. I know we'd like to say whosoever will, and that's true. But they won't unless the Spirit of God moves them to do it. So when we receive Christ, God chose you before the foundation of the world. And the Holy Spirit at a certain age in your life called you to himself. He gave you the faith to believe because you can't get it. The natural man, that's the man without the Spirit, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God because they're spiritually discerned. If I'm a non-spiritual man at 24, how can I become a spiritual man at 25? The Holy Spirit has to call you. He has to give you that faith because you'll never figure it out. The natural man cannot know the things of God. God must reveal them. And before you ever confessed you were a sinner, God gave you the faith to do that. We owe the Lord a great, great honor. The certainty of our new perception in Christ. There are things, before I was saved at 24, I would read the Bible and the whole Bible was just like a can of worms. I couldn't tell the heads from the tails. And the day that I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, those worms got straightened out. It was amazing. I could read the Bible and I understood it for the first time in my life. I had no idea who Jesus Christ was before I got saved. I knew he was a prophet. I knew he was a great teacher. But I did not know he was God's Son. The Holy Spirit taught me that. As I read the Bible, things came to life. So 1 John 5:20 says, we know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. The word understanding is really the word perception in our language. I can perceive now the things of God. I can look to the future like the Proverbs 31 woman. It says she looks at the future and she laughs. Why does she laugh? Because she knows the end of the Bible. She knows she's on her way to heaven. I know there's going to be trouble in my life from right now till whatever day it is the Lord takes me home. But by perception from God's Word, I can look beyond that and say, yeah, I got trouble for another maybe 10, 20 years. But then I'm never going to have trouble again. Because God has allowed me to see right on into heaven. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you are. I hope you're here with that kind of faith that says, I know there's going to be trouble on this earth. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But take heart. I will overcome the world. Because he overcame, and I'm in him as his son, I'm going to overcome this world too. I'm going to a world pretty quick where there's no more weeds. There's no more mosquitoes. If they are, they won't bite me. There's no more all kinds of stuff that's trouble. There'll be no more war ever again. Folks, you can look at that and we can laugh. In 1 John chapter 5, again, verse 20, we know also the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true by being in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Many people will tell you today there are many ways to heaven. You can go through Allah. You can go through Buddha. You can go through the Hindu Verdes. There's just all kinds of ways. What does the Bible say? There's one way. There's one way through Jesus Christ, Him alone, who is the true God. What the Bible wants you to know is you're not going to get to heaven trusting anybody else. The Bible says, cursed is the man who trusts in man, who makes flesh his idol. Your flesh can become your idol. Folks, you need to understand there's one way to get home safe to heaven, and it's through Jesus Christ. Now, he's going to wind up this teaching with 1 John 5:21. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. Now, I don't think there's probably anybody in this room right now that when you get home, you've got a little wooden idol or a little gold statue that you bow down to and pray. I don't think there's probably a one. But we as Christians still do have some idols in our lives. And we are to put those out of our lives. It may not be a stone idol. It could be a book that you're reading that you know God doesn't want you to read. It could be your internet that has all kinds of stuff in there that's pulling you down. All those things can become idols. We are to smash and crash our idols. We're not to have anyone more important to us than our Lord Jesus Christ. And if something is keeping you today from trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I mentioned to you before, mine was pornography. I knew if I received Christ, I've got to give this up. I gave it up. How about you? Is there something you know the Lord's going to want to take out of your life and you say, I'd love to receive Christ as my Savior, but I don't think I could give that up? Folks, you can through Christ. You can't yourself. You'll never win the battle. But when you receive Christ, He changes your will. Your will now is to do what you want. Your will then is going to be to do what God wants you to do. He'll change your wanter. He says, dear children, keep yourselves from idol. Because God knew His children. And He knows we still have fleshly desires. Every single one of us. We wish it would go away, but it's not going to go away until we get to heaven. You're still going to have your sinful nature until you get home. And that sinful nature wants to have idols that it wants. And you have to make the choice. Am I going to let my flesh control me, or am I going to be controlled by the Holy Spirit? We have a free will, but Christ can give you the power to say no to ungodliness and worldly lust. The choice is yours. You can walk with God, or you can walk through this whole life without God. As a Christian, you have God and He has you. But you can struggle all the days of your life if you want to by saying, I believe, and yet I still want to do this or that, whatever it is. Folks, the best way to live the Christian life is to give yourself 100% to the Lord. Let Him be Lord. What He says is what you're going to do, and then you can walk in the joy of the Lord. Father, what a blessing we have. There are things that we can know for certain. We don't have to go through this life full of doubt, full of confusion, because in Your Word, You've revealed to us Your truth. Father, help us to live in that truth. And we'll give You the praise today in Jesus' holy name. Amen.